Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello there, Braves fans. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and our friends at Tegna and the Odyssey Group. The Locked On Podcast Network has episodes and podcasts covering all of your favorite teams across all of your favorite major sports, whether that be hockey, basketball, football, college football, or baseball. You can find your favorite show dedicated to your favorite team on all of your favorite podcasting platforms, whether that be iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Pandora, I don't know. You can find them all over the map. All you need to do is find your favorite show, like and subscribe so you can be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops, and you can let somebody else do the work for you. You got a lot going on in your life. Let the Locked On Podcast Network and their host of hosts keep you informed of what you need to know to keep yourself updated and fan the way you want to fan the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. Okay, so this last series with San Diego, unfortunately, a lot of rain kind of ruined a lot of the series. Braves had a doubleheader yesterday, which the final game of that doubleheader made it up to the fifth inning with the Braves coming up to bat in the fifth inning of a seven-inning game. Unfortunately, it got suspended. They tried to play the game, and it kept getting pushed back and back and back, and then by around 12:30 or so, they just finally had to admit that it was done. So they're going to remake that, I believe, if the Braves accept. It'll be in San Diego on another road trip here relatively soon, I believe. I don't know, but it'll be remade where the Braves, you'll basically play an inning and a half. To see how it goes, the Braves were down 5-4, so that is where play will resume when they do pick up that game. And then it kind of exemplifies what that series has been. It was a pretty close series, really. Both offenses had been on a real run. The pitching was pretty spectacular, aside from some bullpen hiccups, which, you know, nothing we haven't seen here in Atlanta. But the Braves beat Yu Darvish, which was really, really good to see. That's a tough matchup for anybody. Yu Darvish is an exemplary pitcher. And, you know, It was nice to see them be able to do that. Won that game 2-1, which was very, very nice. You don't figure that the Braves in low-scoring games with that bullpen is something that you'd look to see. And it's not that Yu Darvish was bad, but the Braves did a good job running up his pitch counts. Got him to 95 pitches. He didn't finish six innings. And he only had three strikeouts. That's the crazy part to me. The Braves only struck out against Yu Darvish three times. That is certainly not Yu's normal MO. The Braves did a really, really good job in Tuesday's game. They do need to figure out how to get to the bullpen. To this point, they've been pretty manhandled by San Diego's bullpen. But the offense really hasn't been the issue. And yes, they didn't score a lot of runs, but San Diego has really, really good pitching, and you're not always going to be able to score six or seven runs. That's when you're going to need everybody to pick you up. And one guy that did that really well was Touki Toussaint. You might say he did it better than really well. Touki Toussaint outdueled Yu Darvish. And Touki's a guy that we all just assumed that his starting path was over. The Braves assumed that coming into the season. He was originally slated to go into the bullpen as Waskar Ynoa had won that fifth starting spot, and Touki was going to be in the bullpen. Then he ended up going on the 60-day IL. But baseball is a game of opportunities, man. You got to take advantage when you can. And the Braves have a ton of pitching that's on the shelf right now, obviously, as all of you know. And Touki was really, really good in the minors. They were letting him start because they just didn't have any other areas to turn. And he rewards them with 6 2/3. Three hits, only one run allowed, only two walks to five strikeouts. Now, the five strikeouts, I'm a little shocked that he only had five. He was pitching incredibly through most of this game, really through all of this game. Ran into a touch of trouble down there in the seventh inning, but Touki was just outstanding. And a big part of that was the splitter. Now, you guys know that I'm not a guy that thinks you have to have three pitches to start. There are plenty of pitchers in baseball who, even if they have four or five pitch repertoires, essentially they're two-pitch guys, and they're perfectly fine. Chief among them, Jacob DeGrom. There's a few guys. As long as you have two pitches that are swing and miss, two pitches that we would classify as elite pitches or even like above plus-plus or even plus, if you have two pitches that are really good pitches, then you can succeed. And Touki already had. Touki has one of the better curveballs, or one of the prettier curveballs, you'll see. But he's had very inconsistent fastball command, and that tends to be the issue. If you're only going to have two pitches, one of them has to be a good fastball, and then you can have your good off-speed, because you need something that's going to split the timing up a little bit differently. But Tukey throws a fair number of pitches. He also has that split change, which I don't really want to call it a split change, because he was throwing at 88, 89. But goodness gracious alive, that pitch against Yu Darvish, who spins one of the prettiest breaking balls in baseball, when Yu really breaks one off, it's a thing of art. And Tukey's was as well. You can look up and down on Pitching Ninja. You'll see some of those crazy curveballs, including one he threw to Manny Machado that had him ducking out of the way. But there's that splitter that he was throwing. That was the best I've ever seen his splitter. And that is a very, very important pitch for Tukey Toussaint if he's going to be a starter. Because Tukey has that really slow curveball, that's not a really great weapon versus lefties. If he could consistently backdoor it, then yeah, it would be. But it's not a pitch that I see him consistently backdooring. And such a speed difference between his fastball and his curveball that even if he fools you, even if you're thinking fastball, you have plenty of time to adjust to that curve. So that's one of the reasons you can see lefties kind of mashing off of him. That splitter takes that and completely throws that out the window because that splitter is hard. 88, anywhere from 87 to 89 has really good drop, or at least it did in this last one. He's simplified his mechanics, and maybe that's helped with the splitter. If that splitter's for real and he can be, I don't know that he'll always be able to throw all of them exactly like the one I saw, but he had a great splitter all night, and that's a big pitch for him. That splitter is a lefty eliminator. That's something that they're going to swing over the top of, or they're going to hit it into the ground. That's going to allow him to pair that with that fastball and that curveball and allow him to keep lefties off balance, and that's what he's going to need to do. We'll see if he adds the changeup aspect of it back in, where if he can change speeds on the splitter and run it from a splitter to a split change, that's just another step even better than that. But I want to see another start from Tukey. He certainly earned himself another start. I'm not going to go ahead and go over the top on it, though, because we've seen Tukey do this before. He did this, it was against the Blue Jays, where he had just an exceptional outing, was incredible, outdueled Nate Pearson, I believe it was, and was just awesome and electric, and then got beat around the next couple of times. So we've seen him do this before, but we'll have just an incredible start, and then everything after that will be downhill. So the key for Tukey is going to be repeating, and really, it falls into fastball command. He does have a big tendency of running arm side, which you can get around that. The fastball doesn't have to be his main pitch. He just needs to be able to throw it for strikes when he has to. He has to be able to throw it enough to where hitters aren't just sitting on his off speed, to where they do have to respect the fastball. If he can do that, then Tukey can be a starter. He's got the stamina for it. He's got the stuff for it. He's got some of the best stuff in the system. It's all command related. So I'm excited to see what he can do. It was three rookies that made the starts in that San Diego series, and Tukey was certainly the best of the three. We'll talk about Kyle Muller and Bryce Wilson as we go farther along in this episode, but I do want to give Tukey his due. Tukey was fantastic, and in that game, the bullpen was actually pretty good. Tyler Matzik, he only had to get one out, but he did it, didn't walk anybody. Chris Martin did give up a hit, but other than that, clean inning. And Will Smith gave up a hit, but also got the save as the Braves were able to hold off the Padres 2-1. That was nice to see. Unfortunately, the start of the doubleheader, we know Braves and doubleheaders don't mix very well. Luckily, this time they did better just by rate of they had to than they did versus the Diamondbacks, as the Braves lost the first game 3-2. But we'll talk about that and the Game 3, the ill-fated Game 3, coming up next. So don't go anywhere. We will be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long-cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 different flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. It's the only moist nicotine pouch, if you like pouches. It's the only moist one, and I know some people hate that word, but it's true. All other nicotine pouches are dry, white pouches, nothing dips, spits, or packs like Fully Loaded Chew. And now Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Braves listeners a special offer. Right now you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to www.fullyloadedchew.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and for just $1 and free shipping, use the code LOCKEDON at checkout, spelled just like it sounds. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded with fullyloadedchew.com. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family-owned and operated auto parts chain completely online. What does that mean for you? Well, it means you don't have to worry about going to an auto parts store. Everybody has a computer in their pocket right now. There's no need for you to go to the auto parts store, especially if you already know what parts you need. You're going to get there. One, they're going to charge you more. They're going to charge you an upcharge. It's going to be about 20 or 30%. You don't have to deal with that on Rock Auto. Two, you have to put on pants. You don't have to do that if you want to shop with Rock Auto. Just go to rockauto.com. They can cover all the makes and models of your favorite of your vehicles. They can find just about any parts, ranging from the beginner aspect parts all the way up to a little bit more detailed stuff. Exhaust manifolds, whatever. Go to rockauto.com, try them out for yourself. It's going to be shipped directly to your door, so you don't have to have any human interaction unless you want to, and who really wants that? RockAuto.com is family-owned and operated, which means they've been built upon family trust. They've been able to keep the overhead down, and you are able to get parts without paying crazy upcharges. That's the key. That's the goal. That's what you're looking to do. Go to RockAuto.com, try it out for yourself, and in the box at the bottom of the page when asked where did you hear about us, make sure you click the Locked On Podcast Network. That way they know that we sent you there. Rock Auto, your car cares for you. It's time for you to take care of it with rockauto.com. Everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves, brought to you by Locked On Podcast Network. So, in this second segment, we'll take a look at the starters, the other two rookie starters that got underway for the doubleheaders yesterday for the Braves. Kyle Muller got game one, and of course, he got rained out on the day where I was actually off of work and was going to be able to watch him live. So I had to try to watch him in between spurts of actually trying to work, and we've seen Kyle Muller, and Kyle is the big name now because of how awesome he was against the Reds, and didn't repeat that same performance. There's still some things with Kyle Wright that you look at and you see that he clearly has to clean up, a lot of things having to do with command, but he wasn't bad. This wasn't as good as his Reds outing. It was actually pretty similar. He just didn't get the strikeouts the same way that he did in that outing against the Reds, and it costed him some pitch count and some very deep pitch counts, and it ran him out a little bit early, quite frankly, in a game where you were hoping he would give you a little bit more length. The Braves lost that game 3-2. So he wasn't bad by any stretch of the means. He gave up one run. Only went four innings, though, because he got to 87 pitches through four. Maybe he could have come out for a fifth inning, but he wasn't particularly sharp with the breaking balls. His command was not quite what it was. The fastball wasn't quite as heavy as it had been before. But there's any number of reasons for that. But overall, went four innings, gave up two hits, only allowed one earned run. The three walks kind of killed him because it put him. He was in deep counts all day. Even when he got his three strikeouts, There weren't any quick innings, really. There weren't really any quick batters. He kind of struggled putting some guys away. And that's to be expected. That's something that you got to know the guy that you're putting in there. And for Kyle, that's been the thing with him. It's never been a stuff question. He's always had stuff. It's just about if he can consistently command his pitches and put them where he wants to in order to put people away. But it was encouraging, not quite what it was from the Reds. But if you dig into it and you really dig into it, it wasn't that much different from his outing against the Reds. It really just did not quite have the put-away stuff that he did before. But this game was not on him. This was pretty much on Shane Green. So Shane Green comes in, and Shane Green has been absolutely horrific since the Braves signed him. You're starting to see now just why it is that he was a free agent for so long. The offense kind of struggled a little bit against Chris Paddock, which was kind of surprising to me. Chris Paddock has not been that good this year. He's got a 5.17 ERA and a 1.3 whip. Only managed three hits and no runs for five innings off of Chris Paddock, who only had one strikeout. So the Braves were putting the ball in play. There was a little bit of bad luck going into it, and it just didn't work out in their favor. They did get a run off of Drew Pomeranz, though, which they got two runs off of him, really. Only one of them was earned. But they got two runs off of Drew Pomeranz, which is not an easy thing. Drew Pomeranz is pretty dang good before Mark Melancon shut the door on them, which kind of hurt some Braves fans. But overall, I didn't think that was a bad showing. It was seven hits for the Pods, five hits for the Braves. Pods made an error and the Braves didn't. That was a very even contest. It was one of those contests where maybe if it goes nine, maybe something different shakes out. I don't know. But Shane Green kind of killed you there. Luckily, we haven't talked about this, and I especially haven't talked about it enough, how Edgar Santana has quietly been really, really good over his last 19 or 20 or so innings. He's actually only allowed one run since, like, June 15th. He's been really, really good. Went two innings, did give up three hits, but had two strikeouts, lowers his season ERA to 3.33 with a whip of 1.15. I think you're going to start to see him maybe get some chances in some higher leverage, especially if Chris Martin can't remember how to be Chris Martin, or if the Braves continue to struggle with putting runners on. Santana has not been bad at all. And it's good to see. I've mentioned this when the Braves signed him, or when the Braves got him way back when, that Santana was very, very good with the Pirates. He hasn't thrown a lot of pitches over the last 2 years, so I figured it would take some time for the command to really get into play. And you may be starting to see that. In 27 innings this year, the K rate's not exactly where you're looking for it based on his stuff. It's an 8K per 9, but the walk rate is good, 2.33 per 9. That's not too much higher than what he was in 2018 when he was really good. The FIP is still at a 4.57, but that's coming down. The XFIP would be the other one I'd look at 3.82. So he's given up a couple home runs that probably shouldn't have been homers. 2.57 BABIP off of him. He's not pitching badly. He's a guy that, especially over the last month or so, looks like he's kind of getting the command back, which is going to be the big thing for him. And it's usually the last thing that returns after Tommy John surgery. Look at Jameson Taillon and how he's done lately. And that's kind of what you're looking at with Santana, and that's a big boost to this bullpen. The Braves still need to go out and get two more relievers because the rest of the bullpen can't be trusted. But right now, Luke Jackson was really, really good in the first half of the season. He has not been that good for a little bit now, which is why you need somebody like Edgar Santana. And the Braves don't really have anybody in the minors right-handed who you can come up and have take his place. Maybe Haseel De La Cruz, but he's struggled a fair bit himself. As Luke Jackson has a 2.12 ERA, which looks nice, but a 4.58 FIP, and really hasn't been particularly great lately, as his walks have climbed all the way up to 4.24 per 9. That's not where you want to see his at, and he's running that off of a 2.44 BABIP against him, which is not traditional Luke Jackson. That is Other than 6 1/3 innings in 2015, that is by far the lowest BABIP against him in his career. So hopefully Luke figures something out, because the Braves need Luke to be good. Don't need him to be lights out super amazing, but they need him to be good if they have any hope of doing anything. Unfortunately for the Braves, the second start, Bryce Wilson's start, that was a textbook case of just horrible. And that game went a little too long. If you hadn't had as big of an issue with Bryce and him going so deep and being so bad and having to go to the bullpen as early as you did, maybe that game gets finished a little bit earlier. But this was yet another bad outing for Bryce Wilson, and that's been a constant theme for him. We all know what he did in the NLCS against the Dodgers. That was absolutely incredible. But the more we look at that, the more it's starting to look like that was the outlier game. And what we've seen from him aside from that game has just not been good. He's had maybe three good starts in his career. The rest of them, he's only had 14 or 15 starts, so he's still fairly fresh as far as starter goes. But the problem is, like, you can't give him time up here if he's not performing. It's not going to work. The Braves aren't a team that's in rebuilding mode. You don't have time to figure it out at the big league level. If you can't help this team win, then you're not going to pitch for them. And Bryce went two innings last night, threw 60 pitches in two innings, gave up four hits, five runs, all five of them earned, four walks and two strikeouts. Those four walks, that can't happen for Bryce. Bryce does not have the stuff to miss spots. He just doesn't. He's just not going to be able to get it done. And yeah, Kyle Muller has a lot of the same issues as far as command goes. But the difference is Kyle Wright has the stuff to where if he misses his spot, it doesn't mean that he's going to get punished. He might be able to get away with it. Bryce does not have that. He's thrown about 93. He can ramp it up. We've seen him ramp it up 94, 95, but he was consistently 93 yesterday, which you can that can play, but it's not going to play up in the zone. It's not going to play when you miss your spots. If you can't put that ball where you want it to go, you're going to get mashed on, and that's what we saw from him. Now, credit, the Padres have a really good lineup. It's not like there's some scrubs offensively, but it wasn't just their good hitters that were getting to him, and he wasn't fooling many people. Did have the two strikeouts, so he kept a 9K per 9 average, which, you know, good for him, I guess. But it's just, that is not an inspiring performance, and Bryce really needed one. He went on normal rest. There wasn't anything crazy on it. Yeah, he's been bumped up and down a few times, but he's been consistently starting this whole season, and he doesn't seem to have these problems in Gwinnett. It's very similar to Kyle Wright. Now, the one thing I will say is the strikeout numbers have completely dwindled from him since really... since 2019 when he had 21 starts in Gwinnett and was under 9K per nine. That's kind of what he is. He's going to rely on giving contact, which whenever you do that, you run the risk of giving up hard contact. But the bigger issue for him is the walk rate. That was one of the things for him in the minors where it really wasn't crazy. He wasn't somebody who walked a ton of people. And this year, if you just look at the base stats, 3.23 per nine is not that much, but it's over half compared to a strikeout, and that's not going to play. If you're not going to be a strikeout guy, you can't be walking guys. You definitely can't give up home runs, which is something that Bryce has done. And it doesn't look like it's something that's just bad luck against him. His BABIP is right in line with what you've seen from him at the big league levels. It's just hasn't been what we wanted to see from Bryce. His fastball has consistently started to drop in velocity. Never a good sign. The FIP keeps rising. Right now his FIP's at a 5.84. He's got a negative WAR for the season, 6.46 ERA. So you can even say, well, he hasn't been quite as bad as his ERA, but he's still been pretty unplayable as far as a pitching standpoint. And it just comes from, I don't really get it. It's the same thing as Kyle Wright. He goes down and he pitches a completely different way. He gets called back up and he pitches scared. That's all I can say. He pitches scared. He tries to locate on corners and corners and specific corners of the zone and tries to go up and down and left and right, tries to put spots like that, but he doesn't have the command to do that. And similarly to Kyle Wright, if you don't have the command to attack specific areas of the zone, then you got to start breaking it up into quadrants. And for Bryce, the problem is he really only has one consistent pitch, and that's his fastball. His slider, his curve, his change, they're not consistent pitches. He doesn't have a handle on them start to start and really even inning to inning. We've seen times where his slider is outstanding. We've also seen plenty of times where it's not. The curveball, he still has a 55 ranking on his curveball, but he doesn't throw it all that often. I mean, he throws the slider a whole lot more. You don't really see him throw much of that curve anymore, so I really wouldn't count that. I really wouldn't have given that a 55 anyway. The slider, when it's on, has been a better pitch than that curve. It's not what you want to see from him. You're hoping that you get something better from him, but you didn't, and you can say, you know, it's just one time, whatever. But if you keep saying it's just one time over and over and over, eventually you have to just say, okay, maybe it's just not going to work here. As a matter of fact, he's throwing his curveball, says 6.3% of the time, but I think some of those are the slider being factored into there as well. He's mostly been 61.5% fastball, slider coming in at 9.6%, changeup at 22.8%. And the changeup for him, it looked really good in that Dodgers start. It looked really good at some of his time last year. It just has not worked for him overall the rest of this year. I mean, really, he does the only pitch he has that's a positive value pitch is the changeup. That's been his best pitch. His fastball has actually been his worst, but that's also because he throws it a lot because he doesn't have any other pitches that he consistently control, and he doesn't put it in good spots. I think I've kind of seen enough of Bryce Wilson, at least for 2021. Maybe you throw him into a bullpen role and say, all right, well, if he's only going to be a one-pitch guy, let's put him in the bullpen where maybe that one pitch will be okay. But it's certainly, right now, you can't have him go through a lineup two or three times. And if he's missing his spots with that fastball, he's going to get hit around. And that's kind of what you saw. And luckily, the Braves offense came storming back in that game after allowing four runs in the first to make it a game. That's the game that got suspended in the fifth, 5-4 with the Braves coming up to bat. So we'll see what happens there if they're able to pull that game out. But overall, we're going to have to go and hit a break here. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about the series coming up and why it is so big. This is the deciding, and we've said this a few times. I've said this a few times this year. But this really is going to be the series that decides what the rest of the season is for the Braves or not. This is a big, big series. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.ag is the only place I go when I want to place an online wager on a sporting event or a boxing match or an MMA fight or anything, really. A derby race. Point is, if you want to go to BetOnline, if you're a beginner, they're great to use because they've got all sorts of beginner lines. It's easy to figure out. It's easy to navigate. If you're an advanced person, you want to go there because you can get all your parlays. You can get all of your advanced bets. You can even make your own lines. Just go to BetOnline.ag. They're awesome to use. The setup looks cool. It's very easy. It's very easy to figure out what you're doing. And they give you free play money, which is always a plus. Go to BetOnline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON. They're going to give you a nice 50% initial deposit match when you make that first deposit after you sign up. Go to BetOnline.ag and get in the game. Show everybody what you got. You talk about it all the time. Everybody, every sports fan thinks that they know more than the person next to them. Well, it's time to put your money where your mouth is. Go to BetOnline.ag today, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and start showing everybody that you know what you're talking about. Go to BetOnline.ag today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of today's Locked On Braves episode. So, talked about the starting pitching, talked about how the bullpen has been very inconsistent and how that is still the weakest part of the team. The good news is, and the reason why I'm not done with the Braves yet, is bullpens are relatively easy to fix. There's a lot of different people that would make a lot of different sense. I wrote a few of these down. Here's just a few of them. You can give me any of these two, and I think the Braves bullpen would be perfectly fine, and this team would be able to ride. Craig Kimbrell, Richard Rodriguez, Ryan Tepera, Taylor Rogers, Scott Barlow, Andrew Chafin, Ian Kennedy, Chad Green, Drew Steckenrider, Paul Fry, Kendall Graveman, Jojo Cisnero. There are plenty of people that are available as far as relievers go. And you can kind of figure out how you want to do it. Depends now whether or not Alex is going to pay the premium for guys like Kimbrell or Rodriguez or Rogers. I don't really know, especially with all these other ones available. But there are plenty of options here that you can go to that are going to do a really good job. And a few of these guys that are under control for a good while, guys like Steckenrider and Barlow, still have a fair bit of team control left. Cisnero as well. There's a lot of ways you can go. Now, there's a few of these that would be rentals. So they'd be fairly cheap. That's why I'm big on a guy like Ryan Tepera. A few of these guys are not under contract for any long length of time, so maybe that's who they tend to go with. They'll be cheaper deals. But I keep saying this about Alex. This is where he needs to stop being cheap. This is where he needs to go out there and you know, bring in some real pieces. There's a few other people as far as position talents go, because I still think the Braves need another outfielder, somebody that they can actually slot at the top of the order. I don't really want Jock leading off, but other way, if you could have somebody who's going to be in between, so you don't have to have Dansby batting second, because Dansby's been horrific batting second. Randy Arozarena is a guy that I would really, really be interested in seeing if Tampa Bay wants a deal. They trade a lot of people. They're platooning him right now, which means that there's probably a good chance that they would trade him. Tyler O'Neill from St. Louis. Think Adam Duvall, younger Adam Duvall, faster Adam Duvall. He's got great defense, has a good arm, has a ton of power, and has started to actually figure out how to hit at the big league level. I would love Tyler O'Neill. I don't know what the cost would be on him, but that would be somebody. The Cardinals probably aren't going to be in it, but the Cardinals don't ever really sell. So Tyler O'Neill, I do think you could spring a deal for that. They still have some people in the minors that are looking to get shots in the outfield. I think a guy like Tyler O'Neill, you could convince them, especially for pitching, because their pitching is horrendous. Gio Urshela is another one. I know he's on the COVID IL right now, but Urshela is a really good player. He's not amazing in any one stretch, but he has a good bat. Has a really, really good glove over at third. You can move Austin Riley to a corner outfield, keep him in the lineup there. Those are three guys that I would really like to see. Along with, you know, the guys that I've been talking about all year, your Mitch Haniger types. Those would also be very good. I've kind of come off the Reds players because it doesn't look like the Reds are going to sell. It looks like they're convinced that they're just going to keep trying to win and just keep adding good players, which I kind of like to see, but they'll have to go in on it. Scott Barlow, though, that's one of the guys that I really like lately as a reliever. With Kansas City, who's not going to be competing for any real length of time, he's a reliever. They feel like they can replace him, I'm sure. Barlow's a good reliever. There's a few ways to go on here that could make this team good. But they are going to have to do something, because Shane Green has been nothing short of a travesty. As I mentioned, as I alluded to last segment, he has been awful. Giving up hard contact left and right, ERA up over 10. Basically, allows at least one run per outing. Just hasn't been good. The walk rate hasn't been good for him. Let me just tell you his stat line, because it is really, really horrific. And a guy that was good for us last year, really good for us in 2019, just has been very bad. This is his line so far in 13 innings. The strikeouts have been nice. 9.69 per 9, the second highest of his career. The walk rate has not been as nice. The highest walk rate of his career, 4.85 per 9. The home run rate, by far the worst of his career, 277 homers per 9. The BABIP against him at 359, the highest of his career. The left on base percentage, the lowest of his career. Ground ball percentage, lowest of his career. Giving up 20% of homers by fly balls. The fastball velocity is the lowest of his career. ERA is 10.38. The FIP, not much better at 6.86. And the XFIP, not much better than that at 5.6. Any way you slice it, he's been awful. At least he's cheap, you can say that. But this has been an awful, awful reunion with Shane Green. Luckily, he's not being paid much, so I'm sure the Braves will keep him around there. But you got to find something you can do with him, because you can't keep throwing him the way that you are. You can't keep putting him into games right now. Unfortunately, there's too many guys in the bullpen like that. It's just, it's been a bleep show back and forth through most of this bullpen. And Shane Green, a guy that you were hoping would come in and provide some stability, he's been consistent. It's just been consistently bad, which that's not going to play. The Braves are going to have to fix that bullpen to have any run because they're about to go on the biggest stretch of games for them this year. And I've said that a few times. I really have. And I know a lot of you are tired of hearing it, but this is the deciding stretch. You've got 9 games here, but with Philly and the Mets. This is your chance to not just go over 500, which they still haven't done, by the way, but the chance to go from being third in the division to being first in the division. You can win these series. The Braves are 4 games back of the Mets, 4.5 games back of the Mets right now. This is a stretch where if you win, you know, 8 of these 9 or 7 of these 9, you find yourself in first place. I mean, it kind of depends on what the Mets can do, but you can for sure, you can challenge and take that spot. And the Braves, you just have to get some bullpen consistency. If you want some silver lining, the Mets, and this isn't a good thing to say, like, oh, good thing, but the Mets have been injured right now. They're just as injured as the Braves are. They have no idea who they're throwing right now. Their bullpen games are going to have to be shook. Carlos Carrasco got blown up in his rehab outing. They still don't have Noah Syndergaard back. Jacob DeGrom is feeling like he needs to go on the IL. I don't know if he's actually going to or not, but he's not feeling right. And Philly has had Philly's bullpen has been just as bad as the Braves' bullpen. So you have opportunity here. And the Phillies and the Braves, while the Braves are 46-48, the Phillies are 47-47, they've been incredibly equal teams for a lot of the same reasons. This matchup between Braves and Philadelphia, this is one that I think the Braves should have the advantage in this set. It'll be Charlie Morton going tonight for the 7:05 game versus Matt Moore. Now, I do wonder how they're going to respond tonight because they probably didn't get to Philly until about 4 in the morning, so there's no telling how they're going to be running. Tomorrow will be the big matchup. That'll be Max Fried versus Zach Wheeler. That one I'm going to definitively give the advantage to the Phillies. Max isn't particularly great against Philadelphia. He's better than he is against Washington, but not particularly great against Philadelphia. And Zach Wheeler is outstanding. He's either really good or really bad against the Braves, so we'll kind of see how it goes. But Zach has been really, really good this year. 2.44 ERA with a whip under 1. 152 strikeouts in 125 and 2/3 innings. He's been lights out. Only 28 walks as well. So that's going to be the tough game, the toughest game of the series. Although with the way that the season is going, maybe that ends up being the easiest. Saturday's game, you'll see Drew Smyly versus Vince Velasquez. That's another game where you figure the Braves should have the advantage, particularly with how Smyly has been pitching lately. Good on him. He needed it. And then Sunday is the interesting matchup. It'll be Touki Toussaint, which I guarantee he's getting that start, versus Aaron Nola. And immediately you want to say advantage Nola. I don't know that I necessarily would agree with that. Aaron Nola has been horrible since they banned the sticky. His ERA has ballooned up to 4.64. His whip is a 1.23. Still has 131 strikeouts and 106 and 2/3. That's good. 24 walks. That's not bad. I'm going to be very interested to see how Touki handles Philadelphia's lineup because it looks like they're getting Bryce Harper back for this series. He's been playing, so it looks like Bryce is going to be available. That's not good news for the Braves. Bryce Harper crushes the Braves. But overall, the Phillies don't have that intimidating of a lineup. Real Muto is really good. We know that. He's actually been kind of down from Real Muto standards. Bohm, not great. Rhys Hoskins has power but hasn't been particularly great this year. Andrew McCutchen hasn't been great this year. They got a lot of guys hitting 230, 240 in there. They've got some power, but not really anything that scares you a ton. And they've got 3 people with 15 or more homers, and that's Harper, Hoskins, and McCutchen, who has 17, surprisingly. That's kind of surprising to me. But they don't really have any one area of the team that you look at and be like, man, those guys are deadly. So the Braves have a good opportunity here. Take 3 out of 4 against Philadelphia. You find yourself in good position as you go in to take on the Mets in what will be a 5-game set with New York. You'll find yourself. You can if you take 3 out of 4 versus Philly and then take 3 out of 5 versus the Mets, find yourself in good position right there. I mean, that's not bad at all, and that would lead you to believe that the Braves can be real buyers and the Braves can still win this division. That's the crazy thing. With how bad this season has turned out, the Braves are not out of this. It hasn't looked pretty most of the time. It's insane to think that it's one of 3 teams in baseball that has not spent a day over 500 is still in the thick of the race, but that's how this year has been. And we keep waiting for this Braves team to go on a run. They're certainly looking a lot better. The bullpen doesn't look better, but the team as a whole looks much better. The starting pitching has been much improved with the exception of Bryce Wilson. The offense has been much better. I know they didn't score a lot of runs versus San Diego, but San Diego is very good pitching. I'm not going to hold that against them. But they've looked much better. The at-bats have looked much, much better. So this team does have an opportunity. They just have to take advantage of it. That's all I'm asking for. Go on your first run of the season, and you can find yourself in first place. I know it's hard without Ronald, but goodness gracious alive, just do that this once, and if you can make this run here, you put yourself in a position to sneak into the playoffs there, and then playoffs are crazy. Whatever happens, happens. Maybe you win a series. Maybe you win two series. Maybe you get bounced in the first round. You're not going to know until you go. So let's see what the Braves can do in this series versus Philadelphia. Looking for Charlie Morton to help the Braves get off to the right foot. That's going to be a big deal for Charlie to go out there and show everybody why he's the stopper. So that'll be 7:05 first pitch tonight, supposedly. We'll see what happens. Braves taking on Matt Moore. It's a guy that the Braves should be able to handle, but we've seen them struggle against bad pitching in the past. But we will see how things go tonight, and then we'll be back again tomorrow to see how things go tomorrow night as well. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to today's episode. We're going to go ahead and end it there. Thank you, and we'll be back again tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.